But if you will, turn to Genesis chapter 6. And I think sometimes we hear this word, and I've thought about this word, and I've read this word in so much scripture in the last couple of days. And it's something that is, it's so special, and it's something that's a gift from God. It's only from Him. You're not going to get it anywhere else. I mean, I look at it sometimes, and I'm just going to go ahead and read the scripture, and then I'll get to my thoughts right here in a minute. But Genesis chapter 6, it's about Noah, and verses 5 through verse 8, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Let's pray. Almighty God, I just ask you, God, to remove my mind from me right now, God, and speak through me. Help me, God, just bring everything back to my thoughts that you've given me already. God, just help me to stay focused, God, to stay in your word. And dear Lord, you know, it doesn't really matter what Tim has to say. It's what your word says, God. And that's what really matters in everybody's life, in the whole world. It's what you say. God, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for our church. God, we love this church. We love our pastor. Just look after him, God. And thank you for all you do for us, God, and the many blessings and the healings and the people that are going through some hard times right now, God. It breaks our heart to see people sometimes that could get help, but they refuse it, God. And you've always got the outstretched hand, that unseen hand, God, that you love us. You died for us, God. You did everything that you could do for us. It's up to us to accept it or reject it, God. We just thank you for all you do. Thank you most of all for that precious blood of your Lamb, Jesus Christ, that died at Calvary. And I'm in our place, God. In his precious name we pray. Amen. And I want to welcome you on Facebook. I'm not used to this. It's something different. When I surrendered to preach, I didn't even want to wear a microphone then, because I'm plenty loud. And I just thought, you know, but now we've got up, and now I put this rig on, and it's just out there. And so it's just, you know, it's amazing, though, how technology has come, because God knew that we would need it this time in this situation. And it's going out, and the Word of God's going out, and it's amazing how it goes out. But getting to the Scripture, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Tonight's subject is grace. And I sit and I think about grace, and you think about it's unbestowed. It's something that we didn't deserve, but God gave it to us anyway. You sit and think about that. Before the foundation of the world, God had grace. He knew we'd need it. It was already there in abundant supply. It's already been, and it's always been with him, and it'll always be with him. So if you're a child of God's, or you become a child of God's, you've got that grace. But you sit and think about it. He showed you grace before you ever accepted him. You better believe you've lived a life. I was in my 30s before I surrendered to him and accepted him as my Lord and Savior. But he bestowed grace upon me and you while we were yet sinners. The Bible tells us that. He loved us so much that he knew we would need it. So it's always been. And that's what I love about him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? All right, skip down to verse 9. It says, "These are the generations Noah." Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah spent time with God, or he wouldn't have this grace. God knew Noah's heart. God knew what he had in Noah. God knew he could trust Noah. You think of those dimensions that he gave Noah, and he built that ark exactly to those specifications. He was obedient. Sit and think about it. You know, if you were obedient to God, he shows you grace, but he shows you a lot of things. I think of the mercy too. I'm going to stay on grace tonight, but mercy is so beautiful because it's not giving us what we do deserve. So we're all sinners that deserve hell, but God's mercy and grace is the only thing that's keeping us from that. It's him. It's what he does. It's how much he loves us. It's before the foundation of the world. He loved us. We were a thought. He knew he wanted us because he wants us for himself. That's why you were created. God wants you to spend eternity with him. He wouldn't have created you if he didn't. He's not going to turn someone to hell just because he created them and he doesn't like them. God can use you at any time in your life and mold you and make you into anything that you want to become. He already knows what he wants you to be, but he's just waiting on you to be obedient, just like Noah. Do exactly what he says and do it. I skip down to verse number 22 in chapter 6. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So everything God told him to do, he did it. Sit and think about that. Are we that obedient? Do you do everything God wants you to do? And you know, he listened, he followed directions, he was obedient, and everything God told him to do, he did it. That's why God blessed him so much. That's why God wanted to carry the future of the world on Noah and his three sons and their wives and his wife and the animal kingdom that was all on the ark. That's God. It repented God that he made man. That hurts my feelings that God wished he hadn't made us right there in those verses. It repented him. It broke his heart that he had made a sinful creature. But you think about it, grace has always been. Grace is what kept Adam and Eve from getting the punishment and the judgment that they deserved. God himself made them skins. God showed them grace. He covered them. He loved them that much. All right. Now go to chapter number 7 and verse number 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. That's an obedient man right there. He does what God tells him, and he does everything God tells him. And that's the beauty of Noah. I truly believe that's why God chose him, you know, to go through the flood and all that. I skipped to chapter number 8. And God remembered Noah, first verse, and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged or receded. Okay? So God remembered Noah because of what Noah had done. So when God did or said something, Noah always responded to what God told him to do. That's obedience. That is completely selling out to God and doing exactly what God wants you to do. That's the beauty of grace. That's something that's unmerited favor. It's something that none of us deserved. It's just something. It's out of the love of God that he gives us grace. It's how much he loves us. I can't emphasize that enough. All right, now get to the New Testament. Go to John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 3. No, I'm wrong. John chapter 1. And you know, the first verse says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus Christ. But what I want to read is John chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. And 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 16 says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's how it got here. If you say that Jesus and God are not the same, then you're saying that grace has not always been, because grace came through Jesus Christ. God and Jesus are the same. And the Holy Spirit. You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God has had all the grace and all the truth the whole time. He's come as and I sit and I think about God himself came as Jesus Christ to die for me. We separate them a whole lot of times, but Jesus is God, so God is Jesus, so God died on that cross. Any way you look at it. All right? And the beauty, I was thinking about grace today, and how much Jesus did for us at Calvary, but you sit and think, if he hadn't come as a man, he wouldn't have known the temptation and the sin that's right in my face every day. He wouldn't have known what it felt like to get overwhelmed with sin. He never sinned, but he knew what it was like, because Satan pounded him for 40 days and 40 nights, tempting him with everything he could throw at him. The Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, never sinned. That's what makes his sacrifice perfect and holy. It's the only one God will accept. He will not accept Tim's sacrifice. But the only goodness in me is that part of me that Jesus lives in. This flesh is going to die, and I'm so glad because it's getting, you know, mine's getting wore out. I don't know about any of y'all, but mine's getting worse and worse and worse. And it gets so tired. But we're going to have a new body to live one day. One day in heaven is forever. There's going to be no sun, there's going to be no moon, there's going to be no stars. It's going to be Jesus Christ. He's going to be the light of heaven. So therefore, he is the light. He's the light of the world. So we get a new glorified body that can only be, that's the only body that God will accept in heaven because your body's had sin in it. See, and think about it. He's not going to have sin in his heaven. And that's what I love about him is he made the law, he made the word, he made everything. It's up to us to adhere to it and to trust it and believe in it. That's really all that's required of Tim and everybody else sitting out there is, do I believe God's word? Do I believe that Jesus died for my sins? Do I believe that he rose the third day and that he ascended back to heaven and he's alive today? Yeah, I do. And the only way that you'll get to heaven is if you believe that. He shed his blood for us. That's what he did. So that's the beauty of that. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's where it came from. We wouldn't have known mercy and grace and truth if it wasn't for Jesus. But God appointed that and God made that. So verse 14, he's full of the truth. And then verse 16, you know, it talks about grace for grace. And I've sat and thought about that now. And if somebody can help me with that. And of his fullness have all we received and grace for grace. Help me with that, Brother Bill. What is that? Grace for grace. No, I'm just saying, you can help me afterwards, you know what I'm saying? It's just, but grace for grace. There's so much grace that you get grace for grace. I don't know, that's the way I see that. But for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He's full of grace and truth. And it only came one way, and that's through Jesus. All right, let's get to Romans. Two more books. Romans chapter 3. And you talk about the writer of this book. If anybody knew grace, it was Paul. And he was as wicked as they come, but then God used him as mightily as anybody used in the Word of God. He wrote more books than anybody. He persecuted Christians. He tried to kill, or he had Christians killed. I just sit and think about that changing over. But that's the exact same change that went through all of us. You went from sin to redemption. You had to, you know, there's no good in me, there's no righteousness in me, but I have righteousness in me now because of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. But Paul, if anybody could write on grace, it was Paul. Sit and think about it. I mean, he loved God. He was zealous for God. But Romans 3, very familiar scripture, verses 23 and 24, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You're justified freely by his grace. So I've heard it before and y'all have heard it before, just as if I'd never sinned. I'm freely forgiven. I'm justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Mercy and truth, mercy and truth, mercy, truth, and grace. That's how you get it. It's freely by his grace. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So nobody can say, well, I've not sinned. Yeah, you have, because the word says so. For all have. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, he redeemed us when he died for us. And it's only through his blood that there is redemption. That's beautiful scripture right there. Now go to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by who? Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where it's all at. And anybody that thinks they can get to heaven on their own merit, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. You're not going to get to heaven any other way. And I love how God made it that simple. You know, you'd work your whole life and never think that you had made it oh, I've got another step to do. I've got another something to do. I'm just not quite there. But God said, no, you're justified freely. Your offenses were paid by one man's sin payment on the cross. That man is Jesus Christ, all God, all man. But moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, we were destined to die. We were going to live in death. We were going to die and die forever in an awful place called hell if it hadn't been for Jesus. But he got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. That's who he is. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, but where sin, you look at how much sin is, and I remember my life and before I got saved, but no matter how deep in sin I was, grace was sufficient. There was enough grace to cover my sin. There's no sin that's too big that God can't forgive it. There's no place you can hide from God. There's no place too dark that you can get away from God. He sees everything. He knows everything. And I'm going to share this with you. I sat down with Katie Sunday, and I was just sitting thinking, she's my baby sister now. She's my sister. And she's, now Katie, look at me, honey. John Mark's your daddy, but guess what? He's also your brother. He can explain that to you when you go on the way home. But is that not amazing? That just by her profession, what she believed in her heart, she's a child of God, the same as anybody in here. If you're 100 years old or if you're 10 years old, she's the same child of God as anybody else. But her daddy is now her brother. See, my boys are my brothers, but I'm their dad. And, you know, we say that we can't give enough grace, but, you know, unmerited favor, you know, if you love your kids, you'll do something for them sometimes just because you love them. God does that for us all the time. Just because you love them, you do something for them. You don't ask for anything in return. It's just out of your love of your heart. That's grace. But that grace was learned from God. It wasn't naturally in any of us because we're all selfish. It's just what we are. But, okay, where sin did abound, grace was much more greater. All right, 1 Corinthians. You didn't know he was doing a Bible drill tonight, did you? But I did try to put it all in order to where you can just keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 10. And I love this scripture right here. And I've sat and thought about this a lot. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You are what you are by the grace of God. I sit and think about, you know, a whole lot of times I'll get on my pity pot about what I used to be, and I wished I wouldn't have been what I was, but I am what I am by the grace of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. You can't change your past. There's no way. And I truly feel like my memory keeps me haunted by my past. That's something that I've already been forgiven for. That's just being a human being. It's just human nature. We'll sit and think, well, did God really forgive me? If he didn't forgive you of that, you're lost. Because if you're forgiven, you're forgiven. He doesn't hold any grudges on us. But, you know, everything that I've done since the day I accepted him, I have to give an account for. He forgave the rest of it when I said, I want you to be my Savior. I was forgiven of that. But, you know, that's where it starts getting a little bit, we've got to start living a little bit better or a whole lot better than we used to live and try to do our best. Because God knew Noah's heart. He knew he was trying to do right. There is not none of us that is going to ever live completely right. But that desire in your heart, God knows it. And if it's there, he knows it. And he honors it. He blesses it. He helps you. But God is so beautiful. You know, we are what we are by God's grace. I'm thankful I was born in America. I'm thankful I was born in the South. I'm thankful that I was born in North Carolina. I'm just thankful for a lot of things. It's just, I could have been born somewhere else. I could have been born in a communist country. I could be dead right now. There's a lot of things that you are what you are by the grace of God. That's a gift. I'm so thankful that our kids get to hear the word of God, and they get to grow up in churches where they can hug another man and another woman and another man and woman to lead them right and tell them the right way. I love the older generation that I can look up to, and they help me along my way. It's really special that when somebody will go out of their way to help you and tell you, you know, you're not the only one that lived that way. You're going to be okay. That's one of the strongest things in this college ministry, is being able to talk to some people that I've never talked to before and trying to get them to join and try to get them to start coming. It's when you give them, you know, I'm not proud of what I used to be, but it is what I was. But then if you can let one of them hear you and they'll say, oh, then I'm not the only one. You're not. You're in where you are by the grace of God for a reason. Bill and Sharon, they're in the school system by the grace of God for a reason. Everybody you work with, they're there for a reason. You're there for a reason. It's not just let's get through the day, let's whatever. God placed you where He's placed you on purpose. But let's just think about that and do something for Him. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I love that. And verse 10 says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That's beautiful scripture right there. If you're going through a valley, or you just don't know what's fixing to happen, His grace is sufficient for you. Any day, any time, any hour, always, constantly, 24/7, 365. Always, he never sleeps. He's always there. He knows what you need before you ask for it. But Paul is asking him three times to take that thorn in the flesh away from him. What was it? Bible never says. But we've all got thorns. We've all got thorns. And there's some that I wished I could get rid of, but maybe I'm not supposed to get rid of them. Maybe you're not supposed to get rid of your thorn. Maybe it's something that you need to deal with, and it keeps you humble, and it lets you know and reminds you that, I'm not going to get rid of that on this earth. But when I go to heaven, I will be rid of all of this. But I love that in your infirmities, in your sickness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Paul took pleasure in infirmities. That scares some people to death, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution. There's people scared to death to not say something to a coworker because they're afraid they're going to get persecuted for it. Our country is getting to be the land of the offended, the United States of the offended, that everybody looks to be mad about something. They want to jump somebody's case about something. Well, there's never this rioting and carrying on and all that's going on unless there's a rebellion in your heart. And I sit and thought about that, and the Lord's not giving me that whole message yet, but there's always a rebellion before there's a right. Always remember that. You're either in rioting against, but you think about, God's the supreme being of the universe. He's always going to be, per se, over us in authority. You agree? He deserves to be in authority. But people that are when you start striving against the police and burning businesses down and you start rioting and you start carrying on, there's rebellion in your heart. There has to be, or you wouldn't do it. There's rebellion against authority. There's rebellion against your mom and dad. There's rebellion against your boss. There's rebellion against some other group, some other church, some other something. There's always a rebellion in your heart to get to the point of you know, the persecutions. And people are scared to death that somebody's going to persecute them for being a Christian. Well, the way I look at it, the way Paul's talking about it right here, be glad that you, I mean, I'm so glad that God calls me his son and he died for me. Why can't I take a little bit of persecution from somebody? You know, that's where we need to start stepping up to the plate, is getting a backbone and saying, no, that's not the right way. A lot of these stuff is getting forced on these kids, and I've said it before, I don't know if I've said it here. This what we're going through right now in this country is conditioning these kids for something else on down the road. And you can say yes or no, and believe it or not, but there's got to be a reason why we're all having to do what we're having to do. There's conditioning, because they'll bring it back up to these kids later and say, remember when we did this for you? Remember when we did this for you? Now we want you to do this for us. There's something going on. There's a rebellion. There's something going on that we don't even know about. I guarantee you that. Satan is trying his best to destroy this country. He's trying to destroy everything good about it. There's a whole lot of bad going on right now, but there's more good than bad. And if God's in control, there's good's always going to outweigh the bad. We've got to always look at him for who he is. But that's who he is. That's what he, you know, but for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. So, you know, you plus God is the majority, always. Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There's Jesus again. The whole word of God is all about Jesus. In whom we have redemption through his blood, we're redeemed by his blood, only his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And it's, you know, it's amazing how much scripture talks about grace and goes with grace. But flip over a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 verse number 5. I'm going to read verse 5 through 9. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He does it every single day. He shows us how much he loves us because of Jesus. It's always through Jesus. Verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, but by grace, that's how you're saved. It's not anything you've done. It's not anything you can do. You can't buy it. Grandma and grandpa can't give it to you. Just because you've gone to this church your whole life does not give you salvation. Salvation is a gift of Jesus Christ. By grace ye are saved. But we were dead in sins, but he's quickened us together with Christ, made us join together with him. By grace ye are saved. All right, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter number 1. 1 Timothy 1, verse number 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. How many verses have I read that Paul ends, which is in Christ Jesus? It's all in Christ Jesus. It's so simple. If you just look at, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant, greater than anything you can ever imagine. There's more than you can ever use. You know, if we was all running a tally on grace, he's never going to run out of it. He's always going to have more than you need. Was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. All right, a couple pages over 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1, verse number 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So, here's a question. Right there, grace was around before the world began. The Bible says so. It's always been, it always will be. So grace has been before the world began. While we're turning to Hebrews, I'm asking you a question. Did Jesus need God's grace? Did he need it? Right. But he needed it one particular time for sure. Hebrews. Chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus needed God's grace, but he was all God, but he did truly as a human being need God's grace to go to that cross and to die for us. He tasted death for every man, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That is how much God loves you. He sent himself, and he gave you enough grace that you didn't have to pay for your sins yourself. That's a great, great Savior right there. That's Jesus Christ. That's who he is. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. Verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you know, I think God is just waiting on us to come to him. You can't demand anything of God, but come to him boldly and say, I need this. He knows what you need before you ask for it anyway. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's his job. That's what he does. He groans and he talks to God when we can't. He knows what we need before we ask for it, but we need to go boldly to the throne of grace. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's there. We just got to go find it. It's always been. You just got to ask for it. But boldly ask for it when you need it, because he knows when you need it. He knows when you need it before you need it. He knows if you're going to need it tomorrow. He knows if you're going to need it next week. He knows if you needed it today. He had plenty. He gave you whatever you needed today. It's just to have the goodness of God. All right, we're about done. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is a beautiful verse. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That grace will calm you down. That grace will make you perfect. It'll establish your goings. It'll strengthen you, but it settles you down. When you know you've got the grace, you can face things that are difficult. When you know it's there, because it's always been there, and every single one of us are living proof that God is full of grace, or you wouldn't be sitting here right now. You would have never, but God has to give you the grace and the faith to trust him.
He has to give you that manner inside of your body that you have to know that He is God. There's something inside of all of us, and there's no way you can tell me there's not a God. You know it, and I know it. There is a God. Look around. I mean, the seasons are controlled by God. It's not just a thing that happens every year. He speaks them to do them. They do what He says. They obey Him. I was reading some scripture today, and I don't think I have it written down. But the seasons obey God. The seasons do not change until God tells them to change. He let winter come in a little early this year, I think, because I was talking to a boy at work. You know, we're sitting, you know, most time December, it's still in the 50s. I mean, it's in the 20s. I don't like it. But it's going to warm up a little bit. But I don't have to like it. It's His. I just got to adapt to it. It's His. He made the seasons. He made everything. God is who He is. But He helps us right there. But after you've suffered a while, He'll make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. But that beautiful, but the God of all grace. Starting at verse number 10. All right, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 3. I remember learning this in Bible school, this verse. It's a great verse to know. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 18, the last verse. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But we need to keep growing. You're never done growing. You have different phases of life, but you're always growing. You should never become stale. You should always be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because there's so much more to learn. You're never going to learn it all. And, you know, it's the difference in knowledge and wisdom. You know, I know a lot of smart people, but only God gives wisdom. It comes from Him. It's a gift from Him. Read Proverbs. I mean, look at Solomon. He blessed Solomon. I feel like He blessed Solomon so greatly because Solomon didn't ask for frivolous things or big palaces or a lot of rings and a lot of crowns. He asked for wisdom. God granted him wisdom. Smartest man to ever live. And, that's the beauty of God. He gave him something because of something, not because of something also. He didn't ask for frivolous things. He asked for wisdom. God gave it to him. He granted it to him. All right, and the very last verse in your King James Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. Revelation 22 and 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The very last sentence in God's word talks about grace. It starts, you know, Adam and Eve got grace. He showed them grace and He showed them a whole lot of mercy. But the whole word of God is centered on grace and Jesus Christ. It's beautiful. I mean, it's just amazing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's how John ended it. And though that's how God told him to end it. And but that's beautiful. I'd read that, but it never dawned on me till today that God ended His word with grace. And it's for us. It's there. All you got to do is ask for it. He's giving it to you. But, if you're sitting here tonight and you're not a child of God's, then you're missing out on a lot of grace. You're missing out on a lot of good things. All good things. And, you know, but the grace be with you all. But it's of our Lord Jesus Christ. And but God ends His spoken word with grace. And that's the beauty. And then, girls, if I can remember, an acronym. I always have trouble with that, right? An acronym is where I take a word and put different word. Okay. Acronym. And I heard this a long time ago, and I've never forgot it. Grace, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Think of that. You get everything of God's because of what Jesus did, what He paid. God's riches at Christ's expense. Well, that's all I have tonight. Kim told me to watch that.